From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Her big tell-all book hit stores today, and no small number of wise guys and gals around Washington see it as a sign of a coming run at the presidency. U.S. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton kept her head down for 2 years as the junior senator from New York. Now it's up again, calm, cool, and collected. Battle scars largely veiled, ambition partially veiled. But is she, would she be, should she be a contender for the White House, the first woman president? Last night, Barbara Walters inquired.
Okay, no to 2004. 2008. I know you're not going to tell me whether or not you'll throw your hat in the ring.
Okay.
But do you think that if you did, is this country ready to accept you, do you think, as a national candidate?
I don't have any intentions or plans of running. I'm flattered that the question gets asked.
Every day.
And I hope that it will lead to a woman running for president.
Well, in presidential politics, that could mean anything. So, should she run for the White House or run away? What's your appetite for more Hillary Clinton? What does she stand for now to you, the past or the future? Could this be the country's first woman president? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Washington is Gail Shattuck, congressional reporter for the Christian Science Monitor. Good evening and welcome, Gail.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Gail, there's a lot we want to know about Senator Hillary Clinton's time in office there in Washington. But first, just give us the buzz from today's bookstore openings in Washington. I understand that in New York and Washington, stores stayed open until midnight for first buyers. What's the buzz around the Capitol today about Living History, Hillary Clinton's new memoir?
Well, she is everywhere. Book signings in Washington, New York today, but in Washington later. And there seems to be very heavy demand for this book.
How's it being received in the political set? She has been fairly low profile for a couple of years and more now. And then in the blink of an eye, she's everywhere. How are her fellow senators taking it, for example?
In politics, a book means only one thing, a presidential run at some point. You don't run for the presidency without writing such a book, and that's, of course, the very first thing that Washington insiders are reading this book with an eye toward. How is she presenting herself, and what might this mean down the line? In the Senate, Tom, it's really just kind of funny, because senators, no matter who they are, think of themselves as important people. And, you know, when they pass by the press, you know, there are always questions for them. Senator, tell us about your latest amendment, bill. But to see people like John McCain being stopped and asked about Hillary's book is really...
Did it make him grind his teeth?
Well, no. He started to say something sharp, and then he kind of laughed and said he didn't comment on personal things. My favorite comment, though, has to go to Indiana Democrat Evan Bayh, who was passing one of these media frenzies as she actually was talking about her book, and he said softly, "I've written a book, too. You know, is anyone interested in talking to me?"
Hey, book for sale over here.
He didn't stop to wait for the response.
Gail Shattuck, we're going to talk a fair bit tonight about the prospects for Hillary run at the presidency, but we really want to understand first her own independent political career as United States Senator from New York. Can you give us a sense of what kind of senator Hillary Clinton has been?
Well, if you were to write a textbook case of, how to become influential in the Senate, you couldn't do better than her first couple years here. You know, she came in with a very big reputation, which she immediately put in a box. She did not seek out the press. She ran from cameras. You never saw her on Sunday talk shows, which is probably the most resented spot among fellow senators. She was deferential to colleagues. She sat through hearings that no one else could could endure except the chairman. She always looked attentive and interested, and she did her homework.
And has that won her respect, or are people still wary of her as a political player? What kind of reputation? She's done all the right things. Has it worked?
I think so, actually. She's even developed some relationships that you wouldn't expect with Republicans. She's worked on foster care issues with Tom DeLay, the most powerful conservative in the House. She's working on military benefits with Lindsey Graham, who was a strong
pro-impeachment guy when Bill Clinton was in the White House.
Pro-impeachment guy, exactly. And that's just the sort of thing you're supposed to do in the Senate. You're supposed to demonstrate a capacity to work with anyone across the aisle, and I think she's done that.
What has Hillary dug in on? What has she made her issues?
Two words, New York. You can hardly talk to her where she won't immediately refer back to some issue of concern to her constituents in New York. This is the interesting point. Many of the pundits, when she first announced this run, said, "Well, she'll do fine in New York City, but forget upstate. Robert Kennedy didn't win anything up there. She's doomed." What she did was spend about 80% of her time campaigning in upstate New York, and really won some converts.
The more conservative by far part of New York.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. At least to the notion that she was someone who would work hard, be accessible, and care about her constituents.
So is she in there with her elbows out for new bridges and roads and school subsidies for pork barrel for New York? Or how has she approached it?
Well, unfortunately, 9/11 gave her a much more important issue, which is aid to first responders. Almost from the beginning, she was saying that was imperative. We had to get money not filtered down through the state, but directly to first responders. And it's taken the Bush administration more than a year to come round to that point, but they're now proposing something very similar.
That is to fire departments, to police, to emergency
exactly.
crews.
Get the money straight to the people who need it and are going to use it.
And what about her famous agenda from presidential days, White House days, and pre-White House days? Poverty, children, the globe takes a village, the liberal agenda that was associated and is associated with Hillary Clinton.
That's a really interesting question, because you'll find many on the liberal side who are very disappointed with her. They're disappointed that when welfare reform comes up, she's going to favor extending the number of hours that welfare recipients have to work. She reminds them that even when President Clinton proposed this, she favored welfare reform. She has always been the darling of the liberal base. But when you look very closely at her record, she actually has a lot more pragmatic centrist elements. She has not played traditional rainbow politics, that is, directing her appeal and programs to specific groups. In fact, she runs from it. One reason she can do that is that many on the liberal left know that, in her heart she's there. But when you look at what her policies are, what she talks about, and even what she's done, it's a much more centrist, pragmatic program.
This sounds like shades of one William Jefferson Clinton. I mean, the absolute
very much
premium
so.
hallmark of his presidency. Gail, in your repertorial heart of hearts, do you see a viable presidential candidate here for 2008, a certain presidential candidate here? How strong a candidate would Hillary be, and how firmly on the track toward that do you see her?
I think just about all indications are that she's heading in that direction, short of her actually saying so. That is, she's spending a lot of time developing, building her contacts with groups outside the country as well. She was appointed, unusually for a freshman senator, to leadership this year, to lead the steering committee.
The Democrat steering committee in the Senate.
Exactly. What the steering committee does is kind of two things. They help shape the appeal, the message of the party, and they also are the link to all of the elected officials, organizations, think tanks, and grassroots campaigns.
Now, how would she come to have that? Does that mean that other Democratic senators are helping position her for a presidential run, or did she somehow just grab it?
There is no one better at raising money in the Democratic Party right now, short of her husband, than Hillary Clinton. Hmm. And she is very generous with that. I think she gave more money to Democratic candidates than any other single Democrat in the 2002 campaign. And in a year when Democrats thought they were going to get clobbered with campaign finance reform, now, tied up in litigation, The idea that someone could actually get a lot of hard money dollars to Democrats made her an extremely important person.
So Gail Shattuck sees a contender in the making here. Gail, stand by. I want to welcome into our conversation Joe Knassen. He's national correspondent for the New York Observer. He's author of The Hunting of the President, the 10-year campaign to destroy Bill and Hillary Clinton. Good evening and welcome, Joe.
Good evening.
Thanks for joining us. Joe, how are you reading what looks to the country, I think, like Hillary's big coming out party this weekend?
Well, to be honest, I'm a bit surprised at the demand for the book. I mean, here in New York, apparently there were 1,000 people at a Barnes & Noble today lined up outside. And while I thought her book would be, you know, something of interest and popular, I had no idea that it was going to attract that kind of devotion, like a rock star.
Joe Condison, you're right there in New York. How do you read that? That's a hometown crowd. Those are her New Yorkers.
Well, she's pretty popular in Manhattan, where I live and where that bookstore is. I mean, there's no question that downstate, Gail was right that she focused her campaign upstate, and that was a very successful and clever strategy. But she was always popular here, and in fact, she and her husband, even in the depths of the, you know, worst times for his presidency, were always from 10 to 20 points more popular in New York than anywhere else.
So how do you read it, Joe? The big picture, sitting now in her, in what is now her home state, looking at what she's done there, looking out across the country, do you see, like Gail, do you see a woman who is putting herself very deliberately on the tracks toward a run for the presidency? Do you see the makings of a successful candidate here?
Well, you know, I think it'd be hard for her to predict what's going to happen 5 years from now. She's not running next year. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So I'm not, you know, I think if the opportunity beckoned, certainly she would be open to it. My view is that she's been a leader of the Democratic Party for much longer already. She's been a leader of the party since 96 when at the convention she came onto the convention floor for her speech. And I've been to many Democratic conventions. I've never seen the delegates go crazy like that for anyone in many, many years. So ever since then, and she gave an excellent speech that night, mm-hmm. and sort of, you know, it was a crowd-pleasing speech, and she did very well. And I think ever since then, she's been regarded as not only, you know, a great and loyal helpmate to President Clinton, but also somebody who had her own political future. This is why people like Charlie Rangel and Chuck Schumer and others in New York approached her to run for the Senate in 1999, because they saw that in her. They saw that capacity to be a political force.
But in the polls, she has such high negatives, Joe.
Yes.
Strong name recognition, but nationally she comes with this some 30-some percent high negatives before she's even begun a campaign. That's kind of an extraordinary negative ratio, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, if I were her advisor, I'd tell her not to run for president. I would say, Hillary, you've done extremely well in the Senate, and I think everything that Gail said about her is true, although I take a little exception to the idea that she's betrayed liberal values. I think it's more complicated than that. But she has been an extremely successful senator, both in New York and in the Senate. And if I were her advisor, I'd say, you know, Hillary, I think these negatives may be too high for you to run for president. You should be the Senate Majority Leader.
But
she'd
be
a great one. She'd be a Lyndon Johnson type Majority Leader and get a lot done.
Gail Shattuck, do you think Hillary Clinton will see this as a possibly an historic opportunity to put a woman herself in the White House and feel obligated to run?
You know, she's already said that she thinks a woman should run in 2008. I think she repeated that in her Barbara Walters interview last night.
Mm-hmm.
She said it before. You know, this is someone who doesn't seem to have trouble with power at all. And I think the Senate isn't the place that it used to be. You know, you're seeing, you know, the idea of people coming and just loving being there forever. Look at how many people are running from the presidency out of the Senate now.
Let us out of
here. Despite the fact that, Congress is not as interesting a place as it used to be. It's a lot more open. It's a lot, in the sense of many fewer privileges and perks.
And there's nothing like a White House to get a politician's attention. Gail Shattuck,
exactly.
Joe Knassen, stand by, please. We've got to take a short break. We're talking tonight about Hillary Clinton and where she's headed. You can join the conversation. What's your appetite for more Hillary Clinton? with a side maybe of Bill. And should this, will this be the first female president of the United States? What does Hillary Clinton stand for to you? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
From Boston University, this is
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about Hillary Clinton and where she is headed. Does Hillary's new memoir put the past behind her? Have you bought it? Will you buy it? Have you read it? Did you see her on TV last night? And what did you see? What's your assessment of Senator Hillary Clinton and her record? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm joined tonight by Joe Connison, national correspondent for the New York Observer from New York City, and from Washington, D.C., Gail Shattuck, congressional reporter for the Christian Science Monitor. Let's listen to a little bit of Hillary Clinton with Barbara Walters last night talking about politicians as symbols.
Part of what I had to learn, and this may sound, again, a little naive, and I plead to that, is that the First Lady of the United States is judged, assessed, held accountable, not simply or even primarily by what she does, because, of course, it's a role. It's not a job. And it is a role that comes with whom you're married to, not what you yourself do. And so, therefore, she is judged as much as a symbol as a person.
The First Lady as symbol, soon perhaps already a politician as symbol. You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. Joe, if you had to describe what Hillary Clinton is, stands for, represents today as a symbol after her White House years, after her years in the U.S. Senate, after all of it, what does Hillary Clinton stand for in your mind?
Well, she stands for a lot of different things. First of all, I think, you know, to Democrats, she stands as almost, you know, the La Pasionaria, who was the great symbol of the Spanish Civil War. She's the person who weathered the onslaught of the vast right-wing conspiracy during her husband's presidency and was attacked viciously and virulently and, you know, stood up to all of that, including this withering investigation by Ken Starr, and prevailed, you know, and emerged without an indictment or anything like that. And I think that's a very powerful symbol to people. And not only that, and then ran for the Senate when everyone on the right predicted that she couldn't possibly win and won in a landslide. And that, I think, to Democrats is a tremendous symbol of endurance and ultimate victory. Mm. Now, to the right, of course, she represents, you know, everything short of witchcraft and that they don't like in terms of feminism and liberalism and the Democratic Party and, you know, a view perhaps of modern morality that they don't appreciate. Although, of course, what she's done is the most traditional thing, which is to stay with your husband. But somehow that doesn't convince them.
With her husband through thick and very thin. Gail, let me put the same question to you, if I may. And I guess with this proviso, you know, I'm always struck by the ferocity of opinion about Hillary. And in the years since the Clinton administration, even by the ferocity and the wild swings of opinion within among people who I know as Democrats. You know, I hear some Democrats who just come out swinging at any name Clinton today. How would you sum her up as a symbol? And do you see as many positives as Joe does there?
Well, I think she's a really difficult person to get a handle on because there are so many competing images. I actually like the way Joe started with that because she is defined by her enemies. And the amount of intense opposition to her as a person from the beginning is, I think, as much cultural as it is political. That is the image that she represented as a very independent woman who was just not going to say no to anything, wasn't going to be, I mean, her cookie remark, you know, lingered on for years and years. She really hit a nerve. And even, you know, in her student days, and she writes about this in a very interesting way in the book, she was at that cutting edge in Wellesley College when the classes before them used to have a kind of ongoing joke, marry well, outlive your husband, and leave his money to Wellesley. That wasn't her take at all. I mean, she was part of the generation that said, you know, maybe my life doesn't have to start with marrying well, although, you know, marrying the president isn't a bad way to start. But to my sense, what's interesting about her isn't often talked about, which is, you know, in an age when many politicians are created like rock stars are, they don't start out playing in clubs. They're just sort of picked out of somewhere. You know, they're a surgeon or they're a lawyer, and they're made a politician. They're kind of given great things to say, and they're put in a nice frame, and they're promoted.
On wings of money and party blessing.
On wings of money. She probably has shaken more hands and has a larger Rolodex in the sense of people that she's met, remembers, and could talk to than almost anybody in national life right now. And she's, you know, she visited something like 78 countries. She's very well known abroad as well.
She's been around, and yet I feel, I've got to say, I hear the positives and I feel them and I remember them, but I also feel an undercurrent even within Democratic circles of, oh boy, I don't know. Let's turn to our callers. We have a lot of them who want to join the conversation. Rob's calling from Appleton, Wisconsin. Hi, Rob, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I guess I'm also somewhat dismayed about all the positive images that are being portrayed. I mean, I consider myself a very serious Democrat, and I look at the Clintons and Hillary Clinton in that category as a major disappointment.
In what category, Rob? I mean, she was a survivor. She has stood up year after year. She took it in the teeth and kept on going.
But, yeah, I mean, there's no question that she has survived, but I think in that, you know, simply because you survived doesn't make you a leader, and especially when we think about the role of a president or someone of a national leadership role, I mean, these people need to be people, a person that can bring society together, to bring the different groups together. And I think there are very few people in the recent history that are more divisive than Hillary Clinton.
Do you think George W. Bush brings the country together, Rob?
No, he doesn't. And I think that's one
president.
Of the major problems. He's president, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's not as successful as some of our other leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I think simply because George Bush is not doing a good job doesn't mean that we then need another person who's not going to do a good job.
So do you think that Hillary could not win, or you don't want her to run, even if she could?
Well, I personally do not think she should run. And I think that if she does run, it will cause such hostility in this country. You know, that I think it would be a very gruesome thing to watch.
Well, we've got your perspective, Robin. Thanks for calling it in. Joe Connison, what do you make of it?
Well, I think this discussion of whether somebody should or shouldn't run is kind of beside the point. Either, you know, that's, it's sort of up to them whether they run or not. In New York, there was plenty of discussion of why she should or shouldn't run for the Senate. And ultimately, she decided that she was going to run, and people had the choice of voting for her or voting for her opponent. And in the end, she beat the guy by 16 points. So, you know, I think the proof is in the pudding in these contests. And if she sees that she has no chance of getting the nomination or that she would have no chance of winning, then I think she's very pragmatic and she won't run. But I think we're years away from that now, and I understand what the caller said, and I appreciate his concern about the divisive quality of politics in the country, but I also feel that comes as much from Mrs. Clinton's adversaries as it ever has from her.
Jennifer's calling from Concord, Massachusetts. Hi, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi.
Well,
I think she should run simply because I think it's time that we had a woman president.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the reason she is viable is that our culture probably has a big conflict with the concept of a first gentleman as sort of a counterpart to a first lady. And President Clinton's having been president, I think, will sort of mitigate that. He won't be emasculated by the role of first gentleman. And I think that might put her over the edge to be sort of our first viable female candidate.
So in a funny way, you see Bill Clinton's history as enabling her to potentially be that first female president.
Absolutely. And we, you know, more evidence to my theory is Elizabeth Dole's failed attempt because of her husband's failed run and, you know, his ads for Viagra and things like that.
So it couldn't work that way. We got it, Jennifer. Gail, how about it? The country would look favorably on Bill Clinton knocking around the White House under President Hillary Clinton?
You know, I certainly take the caller's point. That is an issue that's always raised with women. But, you know, in this case, I don't think it's important. I think the much larger question is that many people, including and especially many on the left, see those 8 years largely as wasted. That even though the economy was brought back up, this was a president that had a second term. He had a surplus. You know, he said he wanted to do something about Social Security, never got to it. Said he wanted to do something about, you know, really reforming education, never quite got to it. And that, you know, for people who've been waiting for a long time for a president with their values in the White House to have someone there and then, you know, just not get so much of the job done, especially in that last term. Now, the Clintons say it's because that they were attacked and distracted. That may well be the case. But I think there's a larger concern that many people who are sympathetic toward them have, that maybe issues of not being organized, being distracted, not really having deeply rooted values after all, despite the image.
But isn't that more Bill Clinton's reputation, Gail, than Hillary Clinton's reputation?
Well, the rap on Hillary while she was in the White House was she doesn't have good political sense. That's why the health care plan went so badly awry.
Too much, too fast.
And that, you know, she's got some good advisors in the Senate who are, you know, helping her to find her way through this. But occasionally she'll just say things that that sound like the old Hillary. That, and if she ever had, you know, the kind of power that comes with a presidency, maybe the old Hillary would come out.
Boy, but if there's such a thing as a learning curve, she surely should have been on it, don't you think?
Well, that's it. But how deep-seated is that? Yeah. I mean, there are people also, frankly, worry about honesty. And, you know, we haven't had a chance to see those reviews of the books yet. There are people that know her record very well. And this book was not given to reviewers in advance, so that the reviews you see coming out now are just quit over lightly,
yeah,
that pick up the themes of the book campaign and that really aren't analytical.
So more
She's
to come
also,
on that
as
front.
A public figure, shielded herself from hard questions for a long time, will not be in a situation where she can be asked tough questions. And I think the Barbara Walters interview was good on some fronts, but really not the sort of hard-hitting follow-up you'd get if you sat, you know, on McNeil Lehrer for,
well, overall,
you know, for an
pretty
hour
soft.
Or something.
Gail, Joe, yeah. Connison, stand by. I want to welcome into our conversation Raymond Hernandez. He's Washington reporter for the New York Times. He joins us from Washington. Good evening and welcome, Ray Hernandez.
Hi, good evening.
Thanks for being with us. Ray, first big question goes to you, just like everybody else tonight. Is this an opening shot in a run for a Hillary presidency?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but see, there's clearly a shift in the way she's handled herself since she got to the Senate. Her first couple of years were she kept a very low profile, and in the last, you know, 6 months or so, she's stepped up her activities on the part of the National Party, fundraising, that sort of speaking, that sort of thing. And now comes the book, and you know, the buzz around the book and the scheduled events she has now, you know, it's like the only time I've seen it in recent memory was when she was elected senator. And
big buzz.
Yeah, there's a huge amount. And a lot of it is calculated, of course. I mean,
of course. It's partly manufactured, but partly there. You don't get that 1,000 people outside the door at midnight just by pressing a button. Ray, you have written that Hillary Clinton started to catch some heat from the left in New York. We've heard tonight about her potentially maneuvering to the center, as Bill Clinton did for a successful run at the White House. Is it a problem for her juggling these?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things that I've discovered in reporting that story is that there are a lot of assumptions made by both the right and left about Hillary Clinton. And for example, she's been criticized by the left for her stance on, you know, increasing workfare rules for work requirements for welfare recipients. This seemed to outrage the left. But the fact is that, you know, she was very supportive of her husband's decision to sign an overhaul of the welfare system in 96, and but the impression was that she hadn't been, that she was, the impression that I found was that she had been upset by that, along with a lot of, you know, the president's liberal allies. That turns out not to be true. Part of the reason that that's the impression is she didn't say much. Mm-hmm. And Hillary Clinton has, you know, not said a whole lot even in the Senate. It's been very, very scripted, and she's sort of, you know, slowly you're beginning to see, you know, this person as a public figure, and she's taking positions because she now has elective power, and we're all learning a whole lot about her as an elected figure. The personal stuff, well, you know, we know a whole lot about that, but we don't know, Ray, it's a huge juggling act. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about on the personal side, the continued presence of Bill Clinton in the public eye? How has that affected Hillary in Washington as a senator, if at all? And how do you imagine, what's the talk about how that might affect her in a presidential run?
Well, I'm told that and it's clear to me that he has tried to stay out of her way, given her a lot of space to be, you know, a political figure and an elected official in her own right. So it hasn't come up. How does it affect her, you know, if she's a national candidate? All I can tell you is that the polls today seem to indicate that if she jumped into the primary, the Democratic primary for president in 2004, she'd win right now. Mm. And she's not even running an active campaign.
Joe Connison, let me put the same question to you about how Bill Clinton might figure into a Hillary Clinton run for the presidency. Even if he keeps his distance from her, he's a big personality with a big history.
Well, you know, during the Senate race here, he was talking to her about six times a day. And I think the role that he plays, aside from being her husband and her closest friend, in spite of all their ups and downs, is he's a, from her point of view, he's a brilliant political advisor. I mean, he played a daily role in helping her to run her Senate campaign, which was an extraordinarily successful race.
Is that a strength on the national stage or a big fat target for the GOP?
Well, I don't. You mean the
secrets, Svengali, Bill Clinton behind the?
He's going to talk to his wife on the phone. I don't think that's a problem. I mean, every Democratic candidate that I know of, whose call will be taken by him, is calling him to try to get his advice, to try to get, you know, some piece of a nod from him. But I want to say something about some comments that were made about the welfare bill and her position on that.
We just got 30 seconds before the break.
She didn't attack her husband while she was in the White House on the welfare question. When she ran for the Senate, she made it very clear that she had supported his position on that. And I think the key thing about the Clintons is that they find a way to knit together the disparate wings of the Democratic Party. That is the story of their success. And, in fact, it's one of the things that the Democratic Party needs very badly now. Mm-hmm.
Joe, stand by. Gil Shattuck. Ray Hernandez, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks. Bye.
Ray Hernandez is Washington reporter for The New York Times. We're talking tonight about Hillary Clinton and where she's headed. Did you see her on TV last night, today? What did you see? What does Hillary Clinton stand for in your mind? And did you ever imagine that the first woman president might have been a first lady? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
From Boston University, this is WBUR.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about Hillary Clinton and where she's headed. My guests are Gail Shattuck, congressional reporter for the Christian Science Monitor, joining us from Washington, and from New York, Joe Connison, national correspondent for the New York Observer and author of The Hunting of the President. You can join the conversation, too. Will this be the first female president of the United States? What does Hillary Clinton stand for to you? And is husband Bill an issue, an albatross, a blessing? Last night, talking with Barbara Walters, Barbara asked her to read a small bit from her new memoir, Living History, about her relationship with Bill Clinton.
I'm often asked why Bill and I have stayed together. All I know is that no one understands me better, and no one can make me laugh the way Bill does. Even after all these years, he is still the most interesting, energizing, and fully alive person I have ever met. Bill Clinton and I started a conversation in the spring of 1971 And more than 30 years later, we're still talking.
Hillary Clinton, reading last night from her new memoir, Living History, in an interview with Barbara Walters. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Deborah's calling from Marshfield, Massachusetts. Hi, Deborah. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Good to have you.
I will purchase the book in order to be able to read it in its entirety. I did watch Barbara Walters last night, was very impressed with the interview. But I also know that when you mention the name of Hillary Clinton, it engenders emotion, because you can see right now you have it, you have her as a topic on your program even before people have had a chance to read the book. So as I look at that, I know she's someone that I would not recommend her running in 2004. I would recommend her running in 2008 after the Bush administration. But remember also that there is when I see the percentages of people that support the Iraq war still, Democrats as well as Republicans and independents, I wonder what kind of how difficult her campaign would become.
Oh, Deborah, it's a good question. Let me put it to our guests, and thank you for calling, Gail Shattuck. How about it? Is it possible that even in the Democratic Party, and even with her efforts to be more centrist, Hillary may look too liberal?
I think the caller raises a really important question. In fact, it's the last note I had here that I wanted to talk about. Look at the committee assignment that she most eagerly sought and won to be on the Armed Services Committee. The one weakness, one of the many weaknesses attributed to her husband was a really inability to be a credible commander-in-chief. He was attacked by the military almost from the first hour, below the surface, mm-hmm. but it bubbled up in all sorts of ways, that this was a president, that I just read a joke about it today, that couldn't have landed on an aircraft carrier in a flight suit, raising the question, could she? Does she look, you know, in a post-9/11 dangerous world, like someone that you could trust the defense of the country to?
But is that really the new standard? Can we only have sky jocks who can land on aircraft carriers? That would sure rule out an awful lot. Abraham Lincoln might look silly in one of those jumpsuits, too.
Yeah, well, also, as Michael Dukakis proved, some people can look very foolish surrounded with, in a tank with a helmet. But I think the overall point isn't this, the image on the flight deck so much as the idea. Are you a credible commander-in-chief? And that, I think, is where she is hoping that this armed services experience, dealing with the military, talking to, dealing with bases and weapon systems. And, if you look very closely at what she said about the war, she was a strong supporter of this war, as at a time when other prominent Senate Democrats were very, very emphatically opposed to it.
I've got to say, Armed Services Committee and supporting the war, this sounds like more support for your view, Gail, that she's gunning for that top job.
I think she wants to make sure at least that the option is there, that isn't a hole in the resume, that down the line someone could say, well, yeah, you'll be fine domestically, but we really can't trust you with the nation's defense.
Joe Connison, how about the big national security issue? In your mind, at this point, is that a gender issue flat out? Is it a Hillary Clinton issue? None of the above.
Well, look, I think the idea that because somebody dressed George Bush up in a flight suit and put him in a plane and had a guy fly him onto a deck, that he's a credible commander-in-chief, is comical.
That's but you take Gail Shattuck's bigger point that national security is a big issue, theatrics aside.
Well, of course it is. And I think, frankly, that is a problem that will face any woman running for president who has not actually served in the military. I mean, in other words, if there were a female lieutenant general or vice admiral or someone like that, then I think she would not have that problem. But otherwise, yes, a female running is going to have a problem in terms of being perceived as the commander-in-chief. By the way, I take exception also to what Gail said about Clinton as commander-in-chief. He won a war in Kosovo. I mean, that was opposed every step by the Republicans, who predicted disaster. They turned out to be completely wrong about that. And the same people who, they were making peacenik noises about Kosovo and simply for political reasons in 1999, and he prosecuted and won that war with NATO. It was the first war that NATO ever fought. So I think there's a perception perpetuated by journalists who repeat the kind of buzzwords, and it's wrong, and it ought not to be allowed to just pass without comment.
Gil Shedrick, I'll let you respond to that.
Happy to. Talk to people in the military. You know, go to a naval academy, you know, graduation. Listen to what people say. Now, that sense, that is, you know, when you have the military, have to send out, you know, a special message at all levels to remind people that they cannot say publicly anything that is critical of the commander-in-chief, it's a problem.
Why was it a problem, though? In other words, there certainly were people in the military who didn't like Bill Clinton, but they obeyed his orders. When he told them to go to Haiti, they went. When he told them to go to Kosovo, they went.
But I guess the point is that there's the shadow of Bill.
They won those battles.
I don't want to get lost in the Bill Clinton military record, but we do see that
commanded military, yeah. And whether the military likes the commander in chief or not is really not the issue.
Well, but it could be an issue. We acknowledge.
I hope it never is, frankly.
Well, it certainly is part of the perception problem that a candidate for the president, Hillary Clinton, would have to deal with.
Let's bring our callers in. Rosie's calling from Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Rosie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I was going to say something else, but I want to say this first. When talking about national security, mm-hmm. Condoleezza Rice, and what about Madeleine Albright? I don't think that either of them were perceived to be too soft or whatever it is to be in the positions they were in. And I think that, and this is what the remark I was going to say, is that if you look at Hillary Clinton, the one great advantage she has is that she has absolutely nothing to hide. They tried and tried to nail whitewater on her. They tried to, you know, embarrass her. They've asked her all sorts of hard questions, though not, you know, in the 2 days since her book came out.
So she's been through the ringer, you're saying.
She's been through the ringer, and she's tough, and she can look somebody in the eye and say, that's my business, and I'm not going to talk about it.
And Rosie, let me ask you,
nicely.
Do I hear in you an American voter who would like to see her run for the presidency or not?
Yeah, I would.
Why?
I would.
Why?
I have my Hillary buttons from when she was running as First Lady, I guess you'd say. I'm not sure if that's the way you put it.
Right.
But I think that if anybody is superbly prepared for it, I mean, she's a lawyer, she's a very smart woman, she did the health care stuff, which was torturous stuff to do the health care.
Sure was.
And she did it with great grace. You know, whether or not her opponents liked what she was saying or what she was doing, the fact is she did it well.
But she didn't get the health care through.
No, because look at when it was, too. It was quite a while ago.
Back.
And I think that some things have changed dramatically, even if it's only the fact that we now have two women senators from California. Who would have thought it?
Yeah. Rosie, thanks for your call. Joe, what about the record of Hillary Clinton? Has that been completely beaten to death, or as Gail was suggesting, might it still be revived?
Well, look, I think that in the first term, they have a lot to answer for, both she and her husband, in terms of their ability to achieve the goals that they set out. I think ultimately, his presidency will be judged as more successful than not, largely because of the recovery of the economy and some of the foreign policy initiatives. But certainly, she's had to explain the health care fiasco, and I think a great deal of that was their fault. They had, at that time, in 93, they had a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House, and they ought to have been able to get a health care bill through, and they made a lot of mistakes.
But on the scandal side, you've written about it extensively. Do you think that's all done, or do you expect that would be revived if Hillary candidacy was put forward?
Well, you know, of course, Tom, there would be people who would revive it, if only for the purpose of selling more books themselves and trying to make a few dollars. But the truth is, she's been vindicated on every single issue. She was before the grand jury twice. There is not one. They never came close to indicting her. And in fact, if you read Sidney Blumenthal's book about this, he interviewed Sam Dash, who was in the Office of Independent Counsel, who told Starr over and over again, you don't have anything on her, drop this. And they refused for political reasons. So I think, you know, she's been thoroughly vindicated on that score.
Amita is calling from Stoneham, Massachusetts. Hi, Amita. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for letting me in.
Sure.
I did watch Barbara Walters yesterday, the show, and I was extremely impressed. I thought Hillary was extraordinarily intelligent, measured, confident, and straightforward. My views about her trying to be president are extremely positive. I would want her to run for presidency. I think she represents what America still has not tapped, a huge untapped potential for women to participate more actively in politics. And the question I would have for people who seem to have so many doubts about her leadership is, would you have those same doubts if she were a man?
With the same record.
Exactly.
Yeah, Amita, thanks for your call. Gail, first to Amita's point about Hillary's presentation last night. Every politician gets judged in part on that. She developed a kind of a rap during her first lady years of being icy and cold. What did you make of the Hillary persona that we saw last night? Is it what she's become? Something that looked to me a little more calm and collected.
Collected she's always been, and I think calm as well. I actually think the surprise is not so much the interview last night, but the book itself. I mean, I'm not by any means all the way through it, but I was actually in college with her a few years back, and so that's the section I turned to first. And I thought not only was it remarkably accurate, but it's really funny. I mean, there's just it's a very amusing book, despite the impression you might have taking into it.
Give us an example.
Oh, she describes this as she gave a very famous speech after at the graduation her senior year. The speaker was Senator Brooke. African-American senator, Republican.
Senator. Mm-hmm.
And it was a kind of rambling speech, but what was so striking, I was in the audience at the time, was how confident she was and the sense that a woman could even, a young woman, could even challenge a senator on intellectual grounds. Well, she describes after this speech, she just wanted to take one last swim in the lake and doesn't see very well, so, left most of her clothes and her glasses on the shore.
We remember those big goggly glasses of that time in the old photos.
Right. Came back and her clothes and glasses were gone. And she finally found someone. I mean, obviously she was wearing a bathing suit or something. Yeah. She found someone who told her that the president had personally removed her clothes and glasses and taken them to her house because she was so upset at the speech. So she had to go dripping wet to pick them up. I mean,
the president of the university. So she had to come and deliver a mea culpa.
Yes. Well, this was Ruth.
Spirited young days there.
Spirited young days. It's a fun read.
Joe Connison, I don't know how close you are to Hillary these days, how much time you spend in her circle. How would you assess her kind of level of fire these days? Is she still, got what it takes? You know what it takes to go for the White House.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I saw her. It's been quite a while. I'm not a personal friend of hers. But
what's your sense then?
Well, look, I think what's always underestimated about the Clintons is how much they actually care about the issues that they talk about. And I think that's been the key to both her and her husband's careers in politics, is that as people observe them over time, and this happened with her in New York, they get the sense, yeah, she really does care about this. She works hard. She had the hardest working campaign I think I've ever watched in that Senate race. And I think that is what is going to affect her decisions about her political future. She's going to try to figure out whether she can do this and whether she's going to have a positive effect.
Well, there's a big brain working on it. We can only imagine that there's another behind working on it as well. Joe Connison, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Joe Connison is author of The Hunting of the President and national correspondent for The New York Observer. He joined us from New York. And Gail Shattuck, thank you as always for being with us tonight. Great to have you.
Thank you.
Gail Shattuck joined us from Washington, D.C. She's congressional reporter for the Christian Science Monitor. You can continue the conversation on our website. Go to onpointradio.org and click on Forums. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. This is WBUR. We're funded by